Okay, this is VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Katie Weaver. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak slowly, and we use words and phrases, especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, Katie and I have a story about the secretive group behind costly land purchases in a farming area of Northern California. Then, Brian Lynn has the science report. He looks at the reasons behind Japan's new mission to the moon. After that, Andrew Smith and Jill Robbins bring us the English lesson of the day. But first, Dan Novak is here with a story about help for sports gamblers in the U.S.
People in the American state of Kentucky will be able to legally bet on sporting events for the first time in September. When they do, they also help to pay for the first ever state program to help people with gambling problems. 5 years ago, the U.S. Supreme Court cleared the way for legalized sports betting. Almost three-fourths of U.S. states have since permitted sports betting, but support for problem gambling services has been limited. Now, more states like Kentucky are requiring at least some sports gambling money to go toward helping addicted gamblers. Research shows that younger, higher-educated men are among the most likely to bet on sports. Technology has made gambling much easier. In many states, people can now bet on smartphone apps 24 hours a day. For the last 5 years, legal sports betting brought in $3 billion in taxes for local and state governments. However, the states spent little on problem gambling services. In 2022, the state of Massachusetts budgeted $10 million for problem gambling services, and nine other states did not spend any. Most of the money from gambling went toward services like telephone helplines, counseling, and public awareness campaigns. The federal government, which spends billions of dollars on substance abuse prevention and treatment, provides nothing for gambling problems. Kentucky is projected to spend about $575,000 in its first year on gambling problems. Michael R. Stone is the director of the nonprofit Kentucky Council on Problem Gambling. He said the amount of money is a good start, but we've only got five certified gambling counselors in the state right now, and we're going to need probably five times that many. As of a year ago, 15 states and the District of Columbia had laws requiring some of the money from sports betting to go toward problem gambling services, but another 15 states did not. Since then, seven more states have either launched sports betting or passed laws to do so. All of those have required part of their sports betting money to go to problem gambling services, said Rachel Volberg. She is a researcher at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. I'm Dan Novak.
A group of technology investors recently released its plans to create a new green city between San Francisco and Sacramento in California. The group's name is California Forever. It posted the plans on its website of the same name. The leader is Jan Schrammeck, a former trader for the financial services company Goldman Sachs. California Forever has purchased about $800 million of land in Solano County. The county includes small cities, many farms, and an American military base. The area is about 100 kilometers from San Francisco and 50 kilometers from the state capital of Sacramento. About 450,000 people live in the county. The cost of a mid-level home is around $600,000, while homes closer to San Francisco can be two or three times more. Housing supply is one of the greatest concerns in California, and those who work as school teachers, nurses, or police officers cannot live close to where they work. California Forever's announcement opened with this message: starting a conversation about Eastern Solano County, a chance for a new community, good-paying local jobs, solar farms, and open space.
The post includes a lot of information about the land purchases and the group's ideas. The website includes drawings of new homes, farms, fields with solar panels, people sitting in boats and fishing, and eating meals in a central city area. The investment group has purchased 202 square kilometers of land since 2018. Among the investors are business leaders Loreen Powell Jobs, tech investor Mark Andreessen, and LinkedIn co-founder Reid Hoffman. California Forever's post reported that 97% of its investors are American. There had been some concerns that the investment group was from outside of the U.S. The project sounds good to the investors, but local leaders and residents are not sure they agree. To start with, many people are upset with the group's secrecy. The investors made the purchases under the name Flannery Associates, LLC. Mike Thompson represents the area in the lower house of the U.S. Congress. He said the U.S. Department of Treasury and the Federal Bureau of Investigation has been working to learn who was behind the land purchases. Their secrecy has caused a lot of problems, a lot of time, and a lot of expense, Thompson said. The investors say they needed to keep their identities secret until they had enough land. Now that they are discussing the project, they say they want to have conversations with the residents of Solano. The group started by sending a survey to homeowners. The survey asked residents about what they want for the future of Solano County. Residents' answers included lower cost of living, more good jobs, as well as improved schools and safety from crime.
Solano County resident Princess Washington is suspicious of California Forever's plans. Washington is the acting mayor of Susan City in central Solano. She says many people who live in the area do not want development. They want to keep the area close to Travis Air Force Base open. She said she is concerned that the Flannery Group wants to create a city for the elite by falsely saying they plan to build low-cost homes. she wondered why the group does not want to transform cities that already exist.
The better thing would be to approach our city leaders and work with us within our city boundaries, not to create a new city.
Flannery also faced anger earlier this year when it opened a court case against a group of landowners. Flannery said the landowners were working together to make sure they sold only at high prices. Other residents say they became worried just recently when the group sent out a survey. It asked the community about its level of support for a major new project with tens of thousands of new homes. Representative Thompson says he is not sure Schrammick and the other investors understood Solano County or its values. He said Schrammick thinks his financial expertise will help the developers push the project forward faster than other California home builders. He doesn't have a plan. He's not there yet, Thompson said. Many home builders say California is a difficult place to do business because there are many rules for the industry to follow. Hoffman and Andreessen did not respond to emailed requests for comment, nor did Jobs, through her business, Emerson Collective. Project developers said they will protect the military base and farmers who want to keep farming on their parcels. I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Katie Weaver.
Last week, Japan's space agency launched a rocket carrying a spacecraft designed to explore the moon. The lunar lander is known as the Smart Lander for Investigating the Moon, or SLIM. It aims to touch down on the moon's surface early next year. If successful, it would make Japan the fifth nation to land a spacecraft on the moon. So far, only the United States, Russia, China, and India have successfully landed spacecraft on the moon. India's landing happened last month. India's landing came days after Russia failed in its attempt to return to the moon for the first time in nearly 50 years. In April, a private Japanese space exploration company announced its space vehicle crashed while trying to land on the moon. If that landing had been successful, it would have marked the first time a private business landed on the moon. In the latest launch, an H-2A rocket lifted off on September 7th from Tanegashima Space Center in southwestern Japan, the country's JAXA space agency said. Hours after the launch, JAXA said it was receiving signals from the SLIM spacecraft suggesting it was operating normally. It is expected to start the lunar landing process by February, the Reuters news agency reported. Japanese space officials have said SLIM aims to land within 100 meters of its target area on the moon's surface. The purpose or mission of the lander is to test the possibility that spacecraft can land on very specific targets. JAXA President Hiroshi Yamakawa told a news conference the mission aims to prove that in the future, spacecraft will be able to land where we want rather than only landing where we can. SLIM is set to touch down in an area called Mare Nectaris on the southeastern half of the moon. The area contains plains of solidified lava and appears as a dark area from Earth. After landing, Slim will seek to examine the mineral-rich rocks to search for clues about the moon's development. The spacecraft is not carrying a lunar explorer. Slim is a small lander. It weighs a little more than 700 kilograms. JAXA plans to use additional light spacecraft in the future to reduce launch costs and permit more missions. The spacecraft uses a chemical propulsion system and is equipped with very small electronic devices to control the lander. SLIM's overall development cost about $102 million. The rocket that launched SLIM also carried the X-ray Imaging and Spectroscopy Mission, or CRISM, satellite. This part of the mission is a joint project of JAXA, the American Space Agency, NASA, and the European Space Agency. The lander successfully separated from the rocket about 45 minutes after the launch. Ground stations in Hawaii and Japan received signals from CRISM soon after the launch. This confirmed the satellite's solar equipment had successfully deployed, JAXA said. The CRISM satellite is designed to take images in many wavelengths of X-rays and to study the chemicals that exist in matter at high temperatures. It can gather information on the speed and makeup of what lies between galaxies. This can help scientists better understand how stars and galaxies developed. The satellite is equipped to look at X-rays of different wavelengths or spectra, even ones at very high energy levels. JAXA is also planning a joint lunar mission with the Indian Space Research Organization sometime after 2025. This will involve Japan's H-3 rocket carrying India's next lunar lander into space. And Japan also aims to send an astronaut to the moon's surface in the latter half of the 2020s as part of NASA's Artemis program. I'm Brian Lynn.
Listening to the Learning English Podcast. Welcome to the part of the show where we help you do more with our series, Let's Learn English. The series shows Ana Mateo in her work and life in Washington, D.C.
Today, we're going to start by listening to a few little words and sounds Americans typically use at the beginning of sentences.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Which one should we do first?
How about...
Let's do that! You just said it.
Oh, yeah, I did. And we can hear it in Lesson 8 of the Let's Learn English series. Ana goes to the recording studio in her workplace to apologize to her co-worker, Jonathan. See if you can hear Jonathan say that little word,
Hi, Jonathan. Are you busy?
Yes, I'm busy. When the studio light is on, I am recording my evening show.
Right. Sorry about yesterday.
No worries.
May I see the studio?
Maybe another time. Right now, I am busy.
Sure. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
I noticed Jonathan said, after Ana asked him a question.
That's right. We usually say to show that we are thinking about an answer. We also use it, like Jonathan did, to help us say no in a nice, polite way.
Our listeners can hear this explained again with more examples by using the pronunciation practice video in Lesson 8 of Let's Learn English. Each lesson in Let's Learn English Level 1 has a pronunciation practice video. You can find it on our website below the main video and the speaking practice video.
Let's hear the first part of that practice video. Hesitation noises. When Americans want more time to think about what they are saying, they often use a hesitation noise, like or Listen to Jonathan when he is talking to Anna. He does not want Anna to see what he is doing in the studio.
May I see the studio?
Maybe another time. Right now, I am busy.
Now you try it. Use to make more time to answer a question.
What is 1,012 and 536?
It's 1,548.
The mathematics problem was a good example of when we typically say, And remember, you can learn more by going to the Learning English website and using the Let's Learn English lessons.
That's right. I'm Jill Robbins, and you're listening to the Learning English Podcast.
Lesson 8 also shows how people answer Anna when she apologizes. Anna says sorry many times.
Sorry about yesterday. I'm sorry. For yesterday. Well, I am sorry.
In fact, Americans often say they are sorry for bothering someone, even when it is for only small mistakes or problems.
And they accept apologies by saying, it's okay, or no problem.
And no worries is also a popular way to accept an apology.
That's right. It is an expression we often think of in connection with Australian speakers of English. You might hear a movie character called Crocodile Dundee say, no worries, mate. We also use no worries in emails to show that we do not want the other person to worry.
Let's hear Anna apologize again, this time to both Jonathan and her coworker, Amelia. Listen for how Jonathan and Amelia answer with no worries and it's okay.
Hi, Jonathan. Are you busy?
Yes, I'm busy. When the studio light is on, I am recording my evening show.
Right. Sorry about yesterday.
No worries.
May I see the studio?
Maybe another time. Right now, I am busy.
Sure. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, Amelia? Are you busy?
I'm a little busy.
I want to say I'm sorry for yesterday.
It's okay, Anna.
Well, I am sorry.
It's okay, Anna. Come by this afternoon.
Okay.
There's another small word at the beginning of sentences that our listeners can learn to use.
Oh? What's that?
You just said it.
Oh, I did. Okay, I admit I said that on purpose because we want our listeners to hear the different tone of voice we use with this little word, oh. But instead of listening to me, let's listen to Anna.
In Lesson 9, Anna wants to check the weather in Washington, D.C. She wants to know if it will be warm or cold. Listen carefully. She says oh two times, right at the beginning and near the end.
Oh, hi, everyone. Here in Washington, D.C., the weather changes often. One day is cold and windy, but the next day is warm and sunny. So every day, I check the forecast. Hello, phone. What is today's temperature?
Today, it is 18 degrees.
18 degrees? That is cold.
18 degrees Celsius.
Oh, Celsius. That is 65 degrees Fahrenheit. That's warm.
Yes, Anna, it is warm.
The first time she says, oh, it's very fast. She says,
oh, hi, everyone.
The oh shows that she is a little surprised because in the video she is reading a book and then notices that the camera is filming her. The way she says oh also gives an informal tone to her speaking.
The second time she says oh shows that she was wrong about the temperature. When we notice that we made a mistake or believed something that was not true, we say oh.
And we can say oh in a few different ways to show this. If we are wrong about a small detail that's not too important, we usually say the word quickly and with a lower tone of voice, like, oh, okay, I get it.
And then if the mistake is a little bigger, the sound usually gets longer, like this, oh.
And if we make a really big mistake, we usually make it sound much longer, like this. Oh.
That's right.
You're listening to the Learning English Podcast. I'm Andrew Smith.
And I'm Jill Robbins. Andrew, we have explained how to use oh when we are wrong or make a mistake. But maybe we should explain what we say when we get a big surprise.
That's a good idea. Here's an example. Jill, what would you say if I told you that I got married this past weekend?
You got married? Oh my gosh!
Okay, I have to be honest. I did not get married. But you gave a good example. When you heard a big surprise, you said, oh my gosh. And gosh is spelled G-O-S-H.
And many people will say, oh my God, to show that they are very surprised or excited. However, some people try not to say God in that way because of their religious beliefs. So they will say gosh instead.
Gee, when you think about it, there are a lot of small words we say at the beginning of sentences.
Yep, there sure are.
And I think our listeners can understand that yep means the same thing as yes.
That's right. It's just an informal way of saying yes.
Well, Jill, before we go, is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners?
We forgot to tell them about the two little words we use to end a conversation.
And what are those?
Bye-bye.
That's right. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to the Learning English Podcast. And see you next time.
I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Andrew Smith.
And that's the Learning English Podcast for today. Thank you, Andrew and Jill, for that lesson. And thanks to my VOA colleagues for their work on today's program.
Most importantly, thank you for listening. For more, Visit our website at learningenglish.voanews.com. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Dan Friedell.